last will or a testament works. You understand, while someone is alive, you can distribute your treasure in any manner that you choose. That's possible. One of my boys would come and say, "Dad, may I have $20? I'll say, "Sure, son, here you go." Jason, don't beat your hopes up. They come a couple days later and says, "Dad, I need $20. I say, "Sure, but will you take the trash out first?" "Well, wait, you didn't, I didn't have to take the trash out last time." "Well, yeah, but this time, would you take the trash out for the $20? Or just use the $20, but on your way out, take the trash with you." "Sure." A couple days later, they say, "Dad, my boys. can I have $20? I said, "Sure, but would you do this or that or the other?" And each time it was different, they still received the $20, but it was on different circumstances. Same way in life. You know, and now Jesus gives that illustration. But when I die, my boys aren't getting $20. At least I can't give it to them. They'll have to receive it according to the terms of the will. If there is $20. But the illustration is that when Jesus was alive on earth, he distributed his treasure of forgiveness of sins in a variety of ways. But however, after he died, forgiveness of sins was obtained only in one manner. And it was according to the terms of the will or his testament, the New Testament. So I put in your notes by illustration here, 6, now key on the word different ways Jesus forgave sins before he died. And you'll note that baptism is not in any of them. Number one, in Mark chapter 2, beginning of verse 1, this is about the man that had 4 friends. He was sick of the palsy, and his friends were trying to bring him to Jesus for healing. Because they couldn't get to him because of the crowd, they let him down through the roof of the building where Jesus was teaching. And the Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins are forgiven thee." Why do you require baptism? Why didn't he say, "Repent and be baptized"? He didn't. He just saw their faith and said, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." The second illustration in Mark chapter 10. This was a very rich man came to Jesus with a request. In Mark 10 verse 17, he said, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Oh, yes. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, "One thing you lack. Go thy way, sell whatsoever you have, and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven." And he added to it, "And come, take up thy cross, follow me." 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 requirements now. So in the first illustration, there's only one requirement. Jesus just said, "The faith of your friends and you have saved you." But now he says something different to this man. Completely different. Why not the same answer? He didn't. He had the ability, while he's alive, he could forgive sins in any manner of his choice. To this rich man, he said, "Sell and..." have Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a publican, meaning the tax collector. And he was willing to right any wrong that he'd done in his occupation. And Jesus goes to his house. And in Luke chapter 19, beginning of verse 9, Jesus said to him, "This day is salvation come to this house." Salvation. "For as much as he is also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Merely because of his ancestry, salvation comes to his house. Zacchaeus. Jesus didn't say anything. "Oh, Zacchaeus, let's talk about faith. Let's talk about selling all that you have. Let's talk about loving me much." No. His ancestry, "For as much as he also is a son of Abraham," salvation, "not repent and be baptized." Number five, this is one of the two thieves that are crucified with Jesus on the cross, or on the hill of Golgotha. And in Luke 23, verse 42, Jesus said to him, or he said rather unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." The only thing this thief did was make a request. "Lord, remember me." And Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." You'll be with Jesus. Why didn't he say, "By the way, are you a son of Abraham?" Didn't say that. "Do you love much?" He did that with the other. He said, he didn't say, "Find four faithful friends." He didn't say, you need to get off that cross and sell all that you have and give to the poor and come follow me." No. "Not repent and be baptized." All different ways Jesus handed out forgiveness of sin while he was alive. Number six, the last one, the Pharisees brought a woman who was taken in the act of adultery. And after the accusers leave, Jesus said to this woman who's standing there with him in verse 11, "Neither do I condemn thee." Where are your accusers? They're all gone. "Well, I don't condemn you either." But he makes puts a condition on her. He says, "Now go and sin no more." Why not be baptized? Why not sell all that you have? You did that with somebody else. Why not find four faithful friends or any of these others? Or why not, "Woman, you need to make a request." No, just go and sin no more. So I put in your notes. Now you understand the illustration, I know. None of these six examples are for us today. All of the examples cited above in your notes are Jesus distributing forgiveness of sins, salvation. And they were given out while he was alive on earth. And it was rightfully legal for him to do that. So if you think you can choose one of these examples for your forgiveness, then you can take any of them. Most people like to choose number five. Why not choose number two? "Oh, no, I don't want to sell all that I have. I just merely like to make a request. That's all I want to do." But wait a minute. There were five other ways Jesus forgave sins. If you can choose any one of those six, you can choose any one of the others. Why are people always taking number five? Why? Because it's the easiest. One more way Jesus offers forgiveness, offers salvation. I'm putting your notes, a lasting way and a last way. See, when Jesus died, he left a will or a testament. I put in your notes, there's some qualifications for a will to be legal. At least seven qualifications. Number one, you know there has to be a testator or a will maker. Jesus is that testator. He's the will maker. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15, "And for this cause, he," meaning Jesus, "is the mediator of the New Testament." He's the mediator, the will maker. Second, there has to be the death of the testator. We understand that in life. You gotta mention, while I'm alive, I can hand out my possessions or treasure anyone that's written in my will, or children, or relatives, or whatever, if they want what I'm leaving, they'll have to do it, receive it according to the terms of the will. I have to die. In Hebrews 9, verse 16, for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator lives. So repent and be baptized that we preach today under the last will and testament of Christ was not enforced while he was alive. Jesus didn't have to say to them or require of any of those six examples I gave, repent and be baptized. Because his will and testament was not enforced. There must be the death of the testator. Number three, a will may have a legacy. Something to leave to someone, a bequest. And with Jesus, I put a summary statement, number one, in Ephesians 1, verse 3, all spiritual blessings. Now I'm going to key on forgiveness of sins as one, being one of those spiritual blessings. Because Jesus in Luke 24, verse 46, one of the verses that was read to us in the text this morning, Jesus said unto them, thus it is written, and it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, beginning. Now, so Jesus says, before I ascend back to the Father, these are my instructions. This is my last will and testament. I'm telling you, I want repentance and remission of sins preached in my name, beginning at Jerusalem. Beginning. In Acts 2, verse 38, the disciples and apostles are in Jerusalem. Sure enough, Peter preaches, they crucified the Christ, they've murdered the Messiah, they stopped his sermon, they said, what shall we do? Peter's dead. How did you know what to say, Peter? Oh, I remember what Jesus said right before he ascended back to the Father. I'm going to preach repentance and remission of sin. So Acts 2, verse 38, they said, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. That's exactly what Jesus said to preach, to teach. That's a legacy. But second, in this legacy, we can also receive heaven. In Revelation 2, verse 10, now spiritual blessings are for here and now. Heaven is for hereafter. In Revelation 2, verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. We're going to get to this point because the will is conditional. But this is something that's Jesus, the treasure that he's going to leave. I will give you salvation, spiritual blessing, remission of sins, and I'll give you a crown of life. Heaven. But now we have a condition of a will about heirs. That means all in the world are eligible. John 3:16. I just put that one in your notes. But John 3:16, that you'll God so love the world. The world of people. Titus 2, verse 11. The grace of God that brings salvation, spiritual blessing, salvation, has appeared to all men. So the heirs, all of the people that can receive what Jesus is offering, all the world is available, eligible. But then number five, Jesus' will is conditional. A will can be unconditional or conditional. But his will happens to have terms. And in Acts 2, verse 38, I read the first one. What if Jesus is going to give out salvation and forgiveness of sin, what must I do? What are the terms of the will? Well, the apostles read the will. They preached it. Peter reaches in that sermon in verse 37, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ, Acts 2, verse 37. They heard that. They were cut to the heart. They cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter, how are you going to answer that? I'm going to read the will. So he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. That's what Jesus is offering. And then another term or condition of the will, Revelation 2, verse 10. Goes along with the legacy. But now it's conditional. Be thou faithful. faithful until death. You repent and be baptized, and you receive the forgiveness of sins and other spiritual blessings. But now if we live faithful on God's side till we die, we receive a crown of life.
Yes,
see? The will is conditional. There's terms. You don't just be baptized and automatically receive the crown of life. Oh, no, there's another condition. Oh, but I repented and was baptized. Well, bless you. You receive abundance of spiritual blessings. But there's one more condition. Be faithful till you die. And you have an additional blessing. Then there's witnesses for a will to be legal. Witnesses. In Luke 24, verse 48, Jesus said that, right? In those closing words. Ye are witnesses of these things. And he fulfilled all scripture. That he's the Son of God. You're witnesses of my ministry. You saw me die. You saw me being buried, right, raised again the third day. Here I am. You're witnesses. You saw that. And then in Acts 2, verse 32, Peter says the same thing in his sermon in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we're all witnesses.
Yes.
We saw this man. He's God's Son. Witnesses. Then number seven, there's executors to a will. At least I hope you have an executor. Name one. I hope you named one. I did. There's executors. That means, by definition, one appointed to carry out the provisions and directions in a testator's will. The executors are the ones that read the will. Yeah, summarize it. They read the will. So someone here in my family, after I died, they say, well, how do I get what Brian has left us? Somebody's got to read the will to you. There's somebody named in my will as an executor. Someone that sees that if you receive what I have left, you have to do it according to the terms of the will. That's his obligation. That's what an executor does. Well, in Jesus, for Jesus is the apostle. At least starting. And before Jesus goes back to the Father, is ascended back to heaven, he says to his apostles, go ye therefore. I want you go and teach all nations. Why would you teach all nations? Oh, that's right, the whole world are heirs. I want to tell the whole world about this legacy that Jesus is leaving. Tell everybody. And baptizing them, well, that was one of the terms, wasn't it? That was one of the conditions. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So their commission is, as an executor of the will, and as witnesses, to go and tell everybody that they are eligible to receive the legacy that Jesus is leaving. Go everywhere. And then, he says, to teach them to observe whatsoever I've commanded you. So they now become executors. Because whatever Jesus commanded them, they are to command others. Even to this generation. You know what I'm doing right now? I'm reading you the terms of the will. I'm fulfilling an executor's position. I'm trying to tell, not the whole world, but this part of it, this much of it is gathered here, that Jesus has left you a legacy. He's left you spiritual blessings, forgiveness of sins. And if you want what Jesus has to offer, you'll need to repent and be baptized. And having done that, now there's another condition. Be faithful till death. And Jesus said he'll give you a crown of life. We're being faithful executors of the will. Paul told Timothy, the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So there's seven requirements for a will to be legal, and Jesus met every one of them. Now in your notes, I put the apostles were faithful executors. They were faithful in what they read. They taught the conditions of the will everywhere they went in the world. After Jesus ascended and he gave them that final message, go everywhere, teach all nations, when they did that, they were faithful executors. They read the will exactly as Jesus wanted it preached or taught. So from Acts chapter 2, specifically verse 38, the apostles preached the terms of the will. I put in your notes, the terms of the will were the same for everybody. Samaria, and they believed his preaching concerning Jesus and the kingdom of God. They were baptized. Simon also himself believed and was baptized. In Acts chapter 8, verse 36, you have the Ethiopian being baptized. In Acts chapter 9, verse 18, Saul of Tarsus is baptized. In Acts chapter 10, verse 48, Cornelius is baptized. In Acts chapter 16, verse 15, Lydia is baptized. In Acts chapter 16, verse 33, the jailer is baptized. In Acts chapter 18, verse 8, the Corinthians are baptized. You see, Paul and Silas and Peter and the other apostles, when they went out and preached, they didn't say, if someone asked, what must I do to be saved? They didn't say, find four faithful friends. Didn't say, oh, are you a child? Are you a son of Abraham? No, didn't ask that. Didn't say, oh, you need to make a request. Didn't say that. They didn't say, go sell all that you have. They didn't say that. Just go and sin no more. Didn't say that. But that's way older. So, oh, but Jesus did that when he was on earth. That's right. But he died and left a will. And the apostles were the first executors of that will. And when they went everywhere preaching the gospel, they preached a message of salvation according to the terms of the will. And a will began in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Put the last thing in your notes. After the death of a testator, you can't change the terms of the will. No codicil. I've only had one opportunity in my lifetime to be a witness to a codicil of a will. The lady that was changing her will while she was alive, could do that. She had changing her will, and we just happened to be living next door, so we came over, and Christy and I both, or one of us, I remember, was changing her will, or someone else there, but we signed off that we are witnesses that this was her request to change her will. She put a codicil onto the bottom of her will, an amendment, if you will. And she could do that, but not after she died. You can't change the will after you die. Well, that's what the Bible says. Paul said that in Galatians 1, verse 6. He said, I marvel, Paul said, that him that called you into the grace of God unto another gospel, which is not another, Paul said. They're not another. But he said, I'm so you're chasing after something else. Oh, I just want to make a request for my sins to be forgiven. You can't do that. That's not another gospel. That's not another okay. You can't just go and sell all you have. You can't just be a son of Abraham. Rely on your ancestry. You can't just find love and have faith. In terms of the will, repent and be baptized. Every one of you. And also in Revelation 2, 22, verses 18 through 19. Don't add to the things that are written in this prophecy, in this book, and don't take away the will. Not by popular opinion, not by fad, not by emotion, not by vote, not by counsel. You can't change, not legitimately, not by God, and retain God's favor. I know a lot of people in the religious world today made a lot of changes, but it's not by God's authority. The Bible says you can't change the will. You can't do it. That's 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7. I'll close with this. To you are troubles. The message upsets you. Trouble. Paul says, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and them that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Right at the end. Taking vengeance on them that obey not the gospel. That's the will. I'm reading you the will. Taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the presence of God and the glory of his might. But if you repent and be baptized, be thou faithful till death, and I'll give you a crown of life. That's the lesson. The whole world is subject to it. You who are here are subject to that. If you haven't met the conditions of the will already, you have an opportunity right now. You can be baptized. Repent and be baptized for a remission of sin.
available. We can accomplish it right now.